Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This right here could be the biggest moment of his career.
Is it his time? Yes! Noah Watson is wearing a green jacket at Augusta.
There's no doubt about it. The Bear has come out of hibernation.
All right, ready to roll here for Wells Fargo Championship Week. Welcome into the Golf Preview Podcast on Pregames Network. I'm your host, Will Doctor, and I'm glad we snuck out of Byron Nelson Week alive. We picked up 0.2 units after the Alex Noren top 10 ticket at plus 320 cashed. We had Adam Scott to win and to top 10 last week. That failed to hit as Scott couldn't keep his good play going over the weekend. And then Seamus Power packed his bags Friday, so we lost on his top 20 ticket. As for last week's matchup, we only had one, which was Tom Kim over Sung Jae-im. We were trying to fade Sung Jae after his quick travel from the Korean PGA to the Byron, and Sung Jae ended up withdrawing prior to round one as he obviously needed some rest before getting geared up for the next 5 weeks. So that matchup was canceled. We ended Byron week up 0.2 units, and we are up 40.3 units through 18 weeks of the PGA Tour season. And thank goodness that those last 2 weeks are behind us. TPC Louisiana was fine with Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry winning. The Zurich is always looked at as more of a fun week where, we get the different format and we were able to see different personalities of golf team up with each other. But something has to change with the Byron Nelson tournament. I'm not sure how a tournament named after one of the greatest golfers ever is played on a golf course as bad as TPC Craig Ranch. And first off, hats off to Taylor Pendrith. This is a guy who made the International President's Cup team a few years ago after a great stretch of golf at the end of 2022. And then post-President's Cup, his game went non-existent last year. Pendrith figured out his driver, which was the main issue last year, and he took advantage of a golf course in Craig Ranch where he could take advantage of his distance, but driving accuracy did not matter one bit. So he went into Dallas ranked 102nd off the tee, and if there was a place that Pendrith was going to win this year, it was going to be at TPC Craig Ranch. And that's not a knock on Pendrith. Obviously, he's a player with a lot of talent who will now have a great chance to make the International President's Cup team in Montreal, and he has a great chance to make the Canadian Olympic team, probably alongside Corey Connors, who we'll talk about today. But Pendrith, also now exempt into next year's Masters and the Players as well. But the main storyline coming out of last week was how bad the conditions were at TPC Craig Ranch. I mean, there was sod fill-ins around many of the fringes. There was dead spots all over the golf course. And the other problem is TPC Craig Ranch is 41 minutes north of Dallas. So that tournament continues to fail at bringing the heart of Dallas out to watch the event. You look at the player in which the tournament is named after. Byron Nelson is sixth all time as far as PGA Tour wins is concerned. He is an icon, especially here in Texas. And, you know, they host the tournament bearing his name at an absolute dog track in TPC Craig Ranch. That is a disgrace. And you have all of these great golf courses in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. You have Dallas National, Lakewood, Preston Trail, Merido, Vaquero, Mira Vista, and Fort Worth. I think they could hold a PGA Tour event. You could go back to Las Colinas, where it never should have moved away from. You have all these golf courses in the Metroplex, and you're going to put the Byron Nelson at TPC Craig Ranch in McKinney. Unbelievable. I was covering the Insperity Invitational through the weekend over on the Champions Tour, and the final round got rained out there in the Woodlands where the Insperity Invitational was going on. Weather was awful all week in Houston, which is why we didn't do picks for that event. It was only 36 holes. But since that was rained out, I was on my couch all Sunday watching the Byron, and I mean, I quickly learned that TPC Craig Ranch is now the worst golf course on the PGA Tour. The CJ Cup, the Dallas salesman with the red pants, and everyone else in charge of that tournament has to figure out a way to put some respect on Byron Nelson's name again, because that tournament has become a joke due to how horrible of condition TPC Craig Ranch is in. All right, let's move on to the Wells Fargo Championship, where the tour will play its sixth signature event of the season. World number one Scottie Scheffler and Ludvig Åberg are the two notable players who are not in the field this week. Scheffler's wife is set to deliver their first child at any moment, and Åberg cited a left knee issue as the reason for his absence at Quail Hollow. We'll keep you updated on Åberg ahead of the second major of the year in the PGA at Valhalla. And as for Scheffler, the field at Quail Hollow, they're lucky to be catching a breather with his absence. And it's great to start out this second leg of the golf season at a course like Quail Hollow. It's the third longest golf course on the PGA Tour, and accuracy off the tee is not really a huge factor this week. The director of agronomy, Keith Wood, he cuts the rough at Quail down to around two inches. So, you know, rough, not a factor this week. But besides the length, you know, the teeth of this golf course really comes in the speed of the green. So you have to be hitting, you know, into Quail's greens with short irons. You got to be hitting those moonshots if you're coming in with long irons. So what we are looking for is one of the best drivers on tour, along with someone who is executing with their iron play. And once again, in particular, someone who can hit the ball way up in the air as far as their approach play is concerned. You look at the last five winners at the Wells Fargo Championship. 2018 was Jason Day, big hitter off the tee who can send iron shots into outer space with incredible accuracy. He checks that box. 2019 was Max Homa. He's top tier as far as ball striking. 2020 was canceled. You know, Rory won his third Wells Fargo Championship in 2021. This course has fit him to a tee over his career. We'll talk about that today. 2022 was at TPC Potomac, so not really relevant to this week, but Homa did win that year again, in case you were wondering. And then last year, Wyndham Clark introduced himself to the world of Quail, and his game is made off power off the tee with very good short iron play. So you can even go back further than that as far as past winners. J.B. Holmes, Ricky Fowler, Anthony Kim, Tiger in 2007. And the common theme with all of them is distance off the tee and great iron play. You've got rain in the forecast in Charlotte on Thursday and Friday, which should soften up this golf course and make it fairly scoreable over the weekend. The winning score has varied over the years between 9 and 15 under par. And you could make the argument that putting hasn't mattered here historically. But if the forecast stays true and this course softens up over the weekend, the winner will have to make putts to get to that 18, 19, maybe even 20 under par range. So Wyndham got to 19 under par last year, which was an exception because Xander finished second at only 15 under, and Harris English and Tyrrell Hatton We're in a tie for third at 12 under. So historically, this is not a course where tour players are going to take it extremely low. As far as the order of play today, we will discuss the top seven odds favorites. Then we will move into the three matchups and one pick to place. Then I will give you one outright winner and a sleeper, followed by a first round leader and a couple lineups. Then I will round things out with a scoring prediction, best bet, and also a best bet for the Myrtle Beach Classic. All right, let's run down this list of favorites for the Wells Fargo Championship. We'll start with Rory McIlroy at plus 800 on Bet365, BetOnline, MGM, and Bovada. He's coming off that win at the Zurich two ball alongside Shane Lowry. And, you know, Rory, he's a three-time winner at Quail Hollow. Few courses have set up better for Rory over the years, even though he did not win the 2017 PGA, which was played at Quail. Justin Thomas won that. Historically, he fits the mold perfectly at Quail Hollow, Rory's game does. And we could sit here and talk about how, you know, he's been the best driver on the PGA Tour this year, but the, you know, the results haven't shown that because his iron play and his putting haven't been any good. And, you know, we could deep dive into all those things, but the fact is Rory, you know, has won at Quail Hollow multiple times, you know, even when his recent play hasn't been very good. You know, when he won, when Rory won at Wells Fargo in 2021, he had, I think he had two missed cuts in his last three starts rolling into that win. You know, he was playing very well when he won in 2015. He came to Quail that week off a win at the match play, and he had finished eighth that year at the Players. And then, you know, prior to when he won his first PGA Tour title here in 2010, Rory had missed the cut in Houston and at Augusta in the weeks prior to winning at Quail. So, you know, that's why Rory calls Quail Hollow a second home, because you know, playing well or struggling, this course has always seemed to embrace Rory's game. You know, I don't love looking too far into the win at Zurich. I could sit here and say he's playing well, you know, because he won the two ball, but that wouldn't be accurate because, you know, Rory didn't play well at either of the stroke play events leading up to New Orleans. You know, 22nd at the Masters and then 33rd at the RBC. Yeah, he hasn't played great. Hasn't been a good year. So I don't love Rory's matchup against Wyndham Clark, nor Xander Schauffele this week. They both played this course very well and not players who I would take Rory over this week. And I'm out on Rory altogether this week. Once again, based on the inconsistency in his iron play, and I would have liked to seen Rory open up more around that 10-1 number. But that wasn't the case, as Vegas apparently puts more weight on Rory's two ball win in New Orleans than I do. So nothing going on Rory McIlroy this week. We move to world number four, Xander Schauffele at 11-1 on Bet Online. And you know, the story here is we've been waiting and waiting to see when Xander's eighth PGA Tour victory is going to come. He's had some great chances through the first quarter of the season, with a second place finish, the Players, and an eighth place showing at Augusta. And I hope I'm wrong here, but at 30 years old, you know, Xander is taking that shape of what Lee Westwood was looking like in the mid-2000s. It was a guy who was contending every single week. He'd record top finishes at majors, but also a player whose winning percentage was really non-existent. And you know, there's not much you can say about Xander besides that he is a great player who just seems to come up short time and time again. And I respect and I recognize that Xander has kind of put on that man in the arena, that Theo Roosevelt mindset, where you know, Xander recognizes how many times he's come up short, and he's not really frustrated by it. He recognizes that at 30 years old, you know, he could probably have 20 victories instead of seven. But that hasn't been the case. And he comes at it from a perspective of, eventually my good play will get the job done, and eventually my good play will lead to wins. So we'll see. We've seen players like Phil Mickelson finally break through in their 30s, same with Ben Hogan. But we've seen others like Ricky Fowler and Sean O'Hare just totally kind of flame out in their 30s. So I don't think Xander will ever flame out. He's proven to be too consistent over his first 7 years on tour. But as far as this week, I don't think the eighth PGA Tour victory is coming for Xander this week at Quail Hollow. I understand Xander's finished second at Wells last year, but this 11-1 number is not what we wanted to see Xander open at. I would have loved to see him, more around that 15-1 number. And I'm out on Xander Schauffele this week for that reason. We would have moved on to Ludvig Åberg at 12-1, but he's out with a left knee injury. His camp reporting that he injured it in the gym during his preparations for Quail. But they're all hopeful that the Swede's back for the PGA next week. So we'll reevaluate Åberg prior to Valhalla. We're on to Wyndham Clark at 16-1 on Bet365, FanDuel, DraftKings, MGM, and Bovada. Now, this is where Clark's career took off last year. He was ranked 200 and something in the world going into his win at Quail last year. He returns to Charlotte a year later as the world number three. So his life has changed in the best of ways since. He went on to win the U.S. Open and made the American Ryder Cup team, won Pebble this year. And, this week we heard that Tiger gave him a TGL team, the I believe it's called the Bay Club team, and they're going to be based out of California. So Clark, over the last year, has really evolved into the second best American on the PGA Tour, right behind Scottie Scheffler. We saw him finish second to Scheffler at both Bay Hill and the Players. But besides Scheffler, I mean, show me an American with a more impressive resume. U.S. Open win, Pebble Beach Pro-Am win, making a Ryder Cup team, winning Wells. That's a damn good year-long resume right there for Wyndham Clark. And this week he'll look to become the first player to go back-to-back at the Wells Fargo. It's never been done in the history of this tournament. And Clark, rolls in here off a third-place finish at the RBC the week after the Masters. So he's had about 2 weeks to rest after that top finish at Hilton Head. And if I were to recommend one Wyndham Clark play for this week, it would be Clark over Patrick Cantlay at minus 127. I know you don't get a great return, but it's a lock from the perspective of the fact that Cantlay has never sniffed contention at Quail Hollow. So that would be my one play on Clark. It'd be Wyndham Clark over Patrick Cantlay at minus 127 on Bet Online. Or pass there for Wyndham Clark. And that pretty much gave away my take for the next favorite, which is Patrick Cantlay at 22-1 on Bet Online. And I don't want anything to do with Cantlay this week. Number one, he's never played well at Quail in three starts here. Number two, he's 119th on tour in strokes gained approach, as his iron play has been horrible this year. And he switched irons. He went from Titleist to Pings before the Zurich. So obviously he's searching, and things didn't get much better at the Zurich as him and Xander finished, I believe, 23rd. Not great for the Ryder Cup duo. So the two ways to fade Cantlay this week would be, number one, you can do Clark over Cantlay, minus 127 and Bet Online. Or number two, you can get a little bit more value taking Tommy Fleetwood at even money over Patrick Cantlay. And that is a matchup I don't mind, because Fleetwood finished fifth at Quail last year. And it's a course he's played well on beyond last year. I understand that Fleetwood didn't play great at the RBC the week after the Masters, and his ball striking numbers could be better this year. But once again, it's a fade Cantlay week. So there's many ways to do it. Take your pick. I'll be on Wyndham Clark over Patrick Cantlay minus 127 on Bet Online. We'll recap that again when we get to the matchups. But first we got one more favorite to discuss, and it's Max Homa at 25-1 on Bet Online and MGM. And Homa's 55th place finish at the RBC is one that I don't want to put too much thought into this week because that was his third tournament in a row after a great third place showing at Augusta. Homa has proven that that past performance really doesn't matter for him going into this week. You know, he wasn't playing great going into this tournament in 2019 and won. That was Homa's first of eight PGA Tour wins. And then we can't take much of anything from his win in 2022 because it was played at TPC Potomac. So Homa did return last year, made a solid finish at Quail in 2023, finished eighth. I already have my eye on the ticket that I'm all over when it comes to Max Homa, and that's Max Homa over Colin Morikawa at plus 106 on BetOnline, one former Cal Bear against another. So since Homa's our last favorite to discuss, let's just move into the matchups here. Starting with Homa over Morikawa, plus 106 on BetOnline. And I don't know what is fueling Homa to be a slight dog to Morikawa at Quail Hollow. You're talking about a Homa who has played very well at Quail over the years and is also playing well at the moment. You know, completely different from Morikawa, who, you know, give Mori credit, tied third alongside Homa at the Masters. But Morikawa has never played well at Quail because he averages 290 off the tee. Morikawa was 151st on the PGA Tour in driving distance, and that's never going to contend at Quail. So for matchup number one, it's going to be Max Homa over Colin Morikawa at plus 106 on BetOnline. Matchup number two is going to be Wyndham Clark over Patrick Cantlay at minus 127 on BetOnline. And, you know, we can continue on this one. Listen, you look at Cantlay's resume at Quail Hollow, 33rd at the 2017 PGA, miscut at the 2021 Wells Fargo, and then 21st last year here. I don't love his course history here, and I also really don't love that Cantlay switched his irons right in the middle of the season before the Zurich. I'm anti-tinker in the middle of the season. So for Clark, this is a golden opportunity to shine amid Scheffler's absence. Clark is number two on the FedEx Cup standing. Scheffler's leading the money list right now by a long shot. If there's a time where Clark can make up some ground, it is right now. Clark did not play the Zurich two ball. Instead, he finished third at the RBC Heritage and then took 2 weeks of rest to prepare for the second quarter of the season. And listen, it's tough to find a player who matches this course with their stats as much as Clark does. He's 11th in strokes gained off the tee. He hits his approach very in very close proximity to the hole. You know, not only just hitting greens, but hitting it very close a lot. And then he's 9th in strokes gained putting. So all around, just so far, an outstanding season for him around the numbers. So for matchup number two, it'll be Wyndham Clark over Patrick Cantlay at minus 127 on BetOnline. And then I also have to take Tony Finau over Russell Henley at minus 127 on BetOnline. That's matchup number three. And I know this is another huge favorite for a matchup, but deservingly so. Henley has never finished better than 43rd in six pro starts at Quail Hollow. And I can assure you that that's not going to get any better this week, because with Henley averaging 286 off the tee and rain coming into Charlotte Thursday and Friday, this course is going to be a beast for Russell Henley. And don't get me wrong, his game fits well on a lot of golf courses on the schedule. I liked him a lot going into the Masters, and you know, he's had a great year as he's climbed up to 18th in the world, but Henley is never a look at Quail Hollow. And I would have guessed that Finau would be a minus 200 favorite had you told me BetOnline was going to put him up against Henley this week. And you know, as for Tony, you know, nothing new this year. His ball striking is among the best on tour and his putting is the absolute worst. I like Tony this week because he's going to have a huge advantage over the field with his driving ability, 7th in total strokes driving, averaging 306 off the tee, amazing that Finau has actually gotten stronger at age 34, actually improving upon his distance as he gets into his mid-30s. And the other two reasons I like Finau are recent play and course history. He's played decent here over the years with three top 25 and seven appearances at Quail. And in those seven starts, he putted well in four of them. So that's very appealing aspect on Tony this week. Not a lot of golf courses that he can say he's putted well on over the years. And Quail Hollow is one of those courses. As for the recent course play with Tony, two starts of 12th or better in his last three tournaments, second in Houston, 55th at Augusta, and then 12th at Harbortown, where he picked up shots on the green. So we have good pass play at Quail from Finau. His ball striking numbers are fantastic, and we've seen solid play from him over his last three events. So for matchup number two, it's going to be Tony Finau over Russell Henley at minus 127 on BetOnline. All right, guys, a break from the golf to tell you about what we have going on over at pregame.com. A ton of picks to purchase from NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, MLB going on. Use my coupon code CLUB10. Once again, that's CLUB10 for $10 off anything for listeners of this golf podcast only at pregame.com. Once again, that's CLUB10 for $10 off anything for listeners over at pregame.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, we now move to the picks to place for the week. I only have one pick to place this week. I'll tell you what I considered, and then I'll give you the ticket. I considered ripping Adam Scott again to top 20 at plus 150. We had Scott to win in the top 10 at the Byron, and he didn't perform well over the last two rounds. Scott is in on sponsors exemption this week, deservingly so, because he's had a wonderful year. As he's back up to 53rd in the world with, you know, with five top 25s and eight starts this season, you'd think the past Masters champion would be in the field on good play alone. But these are the kinds of situations created by these shrunken 70-man fields. Hopefully they do away with that next year and we see 125 to 135-man fields in the signature events. But anyways, I like Scott because he finished fifth here last year. And I ended up passing because the ball striking isn't quite good enough right now for Quail Hollow standards. And I also considered Sepp Straka to top 20 at plus 175 as he comes in here off three starts, finishing 16th or better. But I passed because he hasn't placed better than 54th in three appearances at Quail. He does not have good course history. So ultimately, my only pick to place this week is going to be Corey Connors to top 20 at plus 175 on BetOnline. And Connors, maybe hasn't had the recent play that you'd like to see. 38th at the Masters, 44th at the RBC, and then 11th at the Zurich. But when you look deep into the numbers, Connors has what it takes to perform well at Quail, which is why he finished eighth here last year. He's 23rd in strokes gained off the tee, fourth in strokes gained approach, is one of the best iron players on tour. Kind of like Finau, I like Connors this week at a course where I don't think the scores will be too high, especially compared to a course like last week in Craig Ranch. Like, you're never going to see 28 under win at Quail Hollow. And that typically works in the favor of average PGA Tour putters like Connors and like Finau. And also like a Hideki Matsuyama. Nothing on Hideki this week, but I digress. My only pick to place this week will be Corey Connors to top 20 at plus 175 on BetOnline. All right, let's move into my one outright winner for the Wells Fargo Championship. It's going to be Cam Young at 28-1 on BetOnline. And this was one of my deepest searches for an outright I've had all season. Cam Young maybe doesn't pop out to most because he does have this narrative as one of the best players on tour without a win. And Some people may have looked away from Cam Young this week because he's coming off a 62nd place finish at Harbortown. But I see a lot in Cam Young going into this week that could point out to him having a similar breakout win that Wyndham Clark did last year. Number one, the ball striking numbers are good enough. Top 30 in strokes gained off the tee and approach. Number two, you know, people are going to point to the RBC as a bad showing. I'm more focused on the start that he got to the 2024 major championship season with a ninth place finish at the Masters. A lot of the press, you know, was pondering if 2023 was a fluke from Cam Young. And I think with four top tens already this season, I think he shut that narrative down pretty quick. And number three, I think it only helps the case that Cam Young has picked up shots with the putter in two of his last three events. You know, Cam Young, typically not the best putter week to week, but he's done well on the greens as of late. So now I understand that Young, you know, doesn't have the course history on his side this week, you know, didn't perform great in his solo appearance last year, but that's okay because, you know, Wyndham hadn't done a thing at Quail in two starts rolling into his win here last year. The point is, this is a great course fit for Young. And in 10 years, I expect him to have a great resume at this golf course, starting with a win this week at the Wells Fargo Championship. So my one outright winner for this week will be Cam Young at 28-1 on Bet Online for the Wells Fargo Championship. All right, moving on to the sleeper for this week. It's going to be Justin Thomas to top five at plus 600 on Bet Online. And listen, I'm ready to get back on the JT train at a course where he won the 2017 PGA Championship. He touts that win among many other top finishes at Quail Hollow. And you know, why shouldn't we like him after his most recent start, which was fifth place finish at the RBC Heritage? He was solid across the board at Harbortown. And, you know, look, a lot of people were down on JT after he missed the cut at the Players and missed the cut at the Masters. You know, he had a bad stretch of three tournaments where the putting and the driver just weren't there. But that doesn't tell the full story on his season, as JT goes into Quail ranked 24th on the FedEx Cup standings. It's pretty solid after the year he had last year. And he played very well early on in the California swing. And after that bad stretch in Florida and at Augusta, you know, he turned it around quickly and had a super solid week at Harbortown. And he's had 2 weeks of rest since. I really like the quotes from JT coming out of Harbortown that, you know, his game feels like it's around the corner and, you know, he can win on any given week. That was not the case last year. He is feeling good about the entirety of his game right now, and that is showing in the overall stats. He's eighth in strokes gained tee to green. He's seventh in approach. And the only reason he hasn't won this year is because he's 157th in putting. What sells me is that he's coming off a great week in his last start at Harbortown and the fact that he has won a major on this golf course. So for my sleeper, can you believe that JT is a sleeper? It's Justin Thomas to top five at plus 600 on Bet Online. We now move to the first round leader. I'm taking Xander Schauffele to lead the first round at 18-1 on DraftKings. Like I said in the favorites, nothing on Xander this week in the entirety of the tournament. But I would think, based on his current consistency and solid course history, I would imagine he gets off to a good start after finishing second here last year. With Xander coming in here at third on the FedEx Cup, I think, like Wyndham Clark, he's going to be looking at this week as a chance to get within reach and take advantage of an absent Scottie Scheffler. He is Xander's 17th in first-round scoring on the PGA Tour. It's very good. And I actually feel very confident that he's leading this tournament after round one. I think he has a great couple of opening rounds. And after that, come the weekend, I can't say what he's going to do. But as far as my first round leader pick, it's going to be Xander Schauffele to lead after the first round at 18-1 on DraftKings.
Four.
All right.
Ball out. Ball out.
Four.
All right, let's talk about these two lineups, Yahoo and PGA Tour. We'll start with the Yahoo lineup with the $200 budget. Number one, you know, Sahith Theegala will be my number one guy at $37. Don't forget Theegala is coming in here off a second place finish at the RBC in his last stroke play appearance. Him and Zhao did miss the cut 2 weeks ago at Zurich, and he did not play well in his first appearance at Quail last year. But kind of like my take, you know, with Cam Young, that's one event for these guys. You know, Wyndham Clark didn't have much success at Quail in his first couple go-rounds either. You know, not everyone is Rory, who, you know, won the first time he saw this place, or like Ricky Fowler, who won in his first appearance here in 2012. You know, Theegala has the game that suits this golf course, and, you know, huge drives and phenomenal putting. And, you know, Theegala will win here at some point in his career. So he's one in the Yahoo lineup. Number two will be Cam Young, my outright winner at $35. Number three will be Tony Finau at $31. For number four, I'll roll the dice with Sepp Straka at $30. Now, Sepp, I don't put him in the same category as Young and Theegala, because Sepp has had his reps at Quail Hollow and really has nothing to show of it. Three starts, hasn't finished better than 54th. It just seems like his game would totally perform well here when he's on. Great driver of the golf ball, solid iron player, can make the putts in the big moment. I got to have Sepp in my lineup this week at $30. So he'll be number four. Number five will be Akshay Bhatia at $27. He will be in my Yahoo lineup indefinitely over the next 2 weeks. A lot of people, a lot of press, they think Oberg is going to be, you know, Scheffler's biggest challenger over the next decade. And I think Akshay Bhatia would have something to say about that. This is a very exciting stretch ahead for him now that his game has become more well-rounded, and that's translated to performing well at different styles of golf courses. He has every shot in the bag, and I can't wait to discuss him next week ahead of the PGA Valhalla. So Akshay is the fifth man at $27. And in the sixth spot, I'll go with Harris English at $24. He finished top five at Quail last year and finished 22nd at the Masters. Big hitter, great putter. And English is no doubt a great lineup option this week. So Harris English will be in the sixth spot at $24. As for the PGA.com fantasy lineup, four players, two bench players, can't pick the same player more than three times over the course of a season. For number one, I'll use Cam Young for the first time this season. Number two, I'll go with Wyndham Clark. You know, we haven't used Clark this season yet, so we'll give him a go for the first time. For number three, we'll go with Harris English. He's a first-timer for the lineup this season as well. For number four, I'll go ahead and use Sahith Theegala for the, you know, that's the second time we'll use Theegala this season. And then for my two bench players, I'll use Kevin Tway, who earned his way into this field after two top tens in his last three starts. And my other bench player will be Ricky Fowler for the first time this season. Fowler obviously has not done much this season, but Quail, you know, it's been good for him. It's been very, like McIlroy, Quail has been very good to Ricky Fowler over the years. Even in the times he struggled, Ricky has performed well at Quail. Remember, his first PGA Tour win came here in 2012, and he finished 14th here last year. So we might as well give Fowler a go on the bench, and we can sub him in if he gets into contention. As for my scoring prediction, 19 under par is going to win the Wells Fargo Championship this week. I believe rain will soften up this golf course on Thursday and Friday, and the weekend we'll see low scores. So 19 under par is going to be my winning scoring prediction. And as for the best bet, it's going to be Cam Young to top 10 at plus 375 on BetOnline. As for the opposite field event, I do have a best bet for the Myrtle Beach Classic. It'll be Daniel Berger to win at 25-1 over on William Hill. And we finally saw some good play from Berger last week at the Byron Nelson. He finished 13th at the Goat Track in TPC Craig Ranch. It's taken Berger a few months to warm back up after taking a couple years off to recover from back surgery. We know this is an American player who is bound to get back to the top 20 in the world with how talented he is. He won two St. Jude's. He won at Colonial. He won at Pebble. He's been a part of the winning President's Cup team. He was part of the winning American squad at the 2021 Ryder Cup. Berger will make a full comeback from that back injury. I think it starts this week in the opposite field event at Myrtle Beach. My best bet and only bet for the Myrtle Beach Classic is Daniel Berger to win at 25-1 on William Hill. That'll do it here for the Wells Fargo Championship preview on the Pregame Network. My name is Will Doctor. You can find me on Twitter at DRMedia59 or X or whatever. And we'll talk next week ahead of week 20 of the PGA Tour season.